Aren't Family X wonderful? Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Dan Proud and I'm the presider today. Prairie is an open-minded congregation and we welcome people of all religious backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, sexual orientation, gender, family structure. In other words, we welcome all of you. And thank you for coming today. This is going to be a special day. I'm looking forward to it. We've got the choir and we've got all generations, so it's going to be a memorable service. We'll start off with announcements. Get those out of the way. And several people have given me information about petitions. So I just want to read this first announcement from Barb Park, our president. Since we are a church and must remain apolitical, please keep your recall petitions outside. But thanks for your civic involvement. So, Well, just don't sign them in here. Okay, we have several announcements. I do want to first point your attention to the announcements in the printed program. Those are just as important as the ones I'm going to read. So thank you for getting those to us ahead of time. To add to those, on December 13th, there will be a Prairie Open Mic Cabaret at 7 o'clock here. There'll be music and spoken word in a celebration of Delita Chaprou's 75th birthday. It's okay to...
Open mic.
Open mic. It's... Raise your hand, Delita. It's okay to bring finger foods, but please no gifts. Also this coming Tuesday, as is in the program, Prairie Elders will be meeting, and newcomers, any newcomers here over 65, you're welcome to join the group. There's no membership, just come. Vera and Gordon are our intrepid coffee makers, but they can't be here every Sunday. So can you two raise your hands so we know who you are? So if you can substitute for them or fill in for them, please talk to Gordon and Vera, okay? Now we have some great news from Cheyenne. To people who ordered Girl Scout cookies, they're here today.
Yay.
Where's Cheyenne? All right. Do you have any extras for people who didn't order?
No, I don't ask.
Oh, well. Okay.
I'll sell you.
Oh, yeah? All right. This is from someone whose handwriting I do not recognize. Save the date. In 2 weeks on Sunday, December 4th, the 4th through 6th grade RE class will be holding a holiday fundraiser for the Green Sanctuary's Me Lai Fund. They will be selling El Salvador crafts and a new item this time, fair trade chocolate. That's two Sundays from now, December 4th.
After the service.
Okay. Nick Abbs is co-sponsoring a free dinner at the Bergamot, is that what you pronounce it, Bergamot, in Oregon on December 1st. That will include a presentation on tactical money management. So see Nick for more details. Okay. Next week, we will have the homeless shelter collection. So it won't be this week as planned. Thank you for your announcements. And now we'll have opening words by our own Cheyenne Hale.
Come into the circle of love and justice. Come into the community of mercy, holiness, and health. Come and you shall know peace and joy.
And now please turn to number 16 in your hymn book. It is a gift to be simple. And if you'd like to stand, you may stand. You can always sing better standing. And now we have a special group who will do the chalice lighting. So please, chalice lighters, come up. Now I have a minute of silent meditation. Rose Smith will lead the reading of the story for all ages. So if you could come up here, children from the, or any children, come up.
Before I start the story, I should tell you that this book was written and illustrated by two members of the Iroquois tribe. It's based on the Thanksgiving address, an ancient message of peace and appreciation of Mother Earth and all her inhabitants. These words of thanks come to us from the native people known as the Iroquois or Six Nations, Mohawk, Oneida, Cayuga, Onondaga, Seneca, and Tuscarora. The people of the Six Nations are from upstate New York and Canada. These words are still spoken at ceremonial and governmental gatherings held by the Six Nations. It's beautifully illustrated, and I'll hold up the pictures for everybody. To be a human being is an honor. And we offer thanksgiving for all the gifts of life. Mother Earth, we thank you for giving us everything we need. You're very beautiful, these pictures. Susan picked this book out, and we thank her so much for doing that. Thank you, deep blue waters around Mother Earth. For you are the force that takes thirst away from all living things. We give thanks to green grasses that feel so good against our bare feet, for the cool beauty you bring to Mother Earth's floor. Thank you for good foods from Mother Earth, our life sustainers for making us happy when we are hungry. Fruits and berries, we thank you for your color and sweetness. We are all thankful to good medicine herbs for healing us when we are sick.
Thank you.
Thank you, all the animals in the world, for keeping our precious forests clean, all the trees in the world. We are thankful for the shade and warmth you give us. Thank you, all the birds in the world, for singing your beautiful song for all of us to enjoy. We give thanks to you, gentle four winds, for bringing clean air for us to breathe from the four directions. Thank you, Grandfather Thunder Beings, for bringing rains to help all living things grow. Elder Brother Sun, we send thanks for shining your light and warming Mother Earth.
Butterflies.
What?
Butterflies.
Butterflies. Oh, we forgot butterflies. I'm sure butterflies are included. Do you know what kind of butterflies those are? Monarch butterflies?
Yep.
You know that. They're like milkweed. Thank you, Grandmother Moon, for growing full every month to light the darkness for children and sparkling waters.
They're sharks.
Yes. We give you thanks, twinkling stars, for making the night sky so beautiful and for sprinkling morning dew drops on the plants. Spirit protectors of our past and present, we thank you for showing us ways to live in peace and harmony with one another. And most of all, thank you, Great Spirit, for giving us all these wonderful gifts so we will be happy and healthy every day and every night. And that's the end of that story.
Well, there are a couple corrections to the program. The kids are not going downstairs. We're not going to sing them downstairs. Maybe we should sing the adults downstairs. Also, there was a another correction to the printed program here is the presentation is not going to be simple gifts. That was done already. So just that's an error. Well, we would, this is the time to share our joys and concerns, so if anyone would like to share that, we'll pass the microphone around.
I have a, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Have a serious concern. Nancy Dott, who is a very good friend and almost a next door neighbor, she and Bob, we've known for many years, had a serious stroke early Tuesday morning. and is still in intensive care at University Hospitals. This affected her left side, so that she has paralysis of the arm and leg on her left side. Don't know anything more about that now. It's very difficult for them also because Bob had serious back surgery about several months ago and then fell afterwards. And so Nancy, he was rather dependent on Nancy to help him out and so on. So it's difficult for the two of them. They're both members of the First Society. Many of you probably know them. Nancy was a very prominent person around, a naturalist, an amateur naturalist for the school system here in the Madison area and at the Arboretum.
Well, as many of you know, I've been in Manhattan this week, and I now have my son's partner is now my son-in-law.
Yay!
Officially. And their names are Paul and Stephen, but they were married as Richard and Patrick because that's their first names, and nobody told the officiant that they went by their middle name. It's still legal. And I got in the middle of the, after the wedding, going back to our car, I got in the middle of the Occupy Wall Street protest. It was an interesting day.
We have experienced the death of a friend who's been a friend of ours for, well, since we came to Monroe, Mark Rosé. He had severe multiple sclerosis and was paralyzed except for the use of one hand and his control, his head movement. But he was a very happy natured person. He grew up with our children. We all went to school together. And he used to kind of brag that he had dated four of our five daughters as they came along. But then when he grew up, he married this wonderful woman who is she's a member at First Church. So your thoughts can go to Sue, who has been taking primary care of him for years, and there's a big hole in her life. She says she lost her best friend.
Well, for those who haven't seen it, at this week's Isthmus, there's a wonderful article on the low-power radio station that is in our garage. And a great picture of Bob, so I'll cut it out and put it up on the bulletin board in the back.
About the garage.
Yeah, the garage does. A picture, and then he also sent a couple of pictures in, so they're pictures of other people who are involved in the radio station also. So that was great fun.
So I as usual in my chaotic life, I have a joy and a sadness. About a week ago, I got an email from the European Academy in Berlin, where I have often stayed. It's a wonderful conference center. And they are having a one-week conference and seminar about Berlin and within the European Union, with a lot of visits to all the political places and so forth. And I thought, my God, this is my chance. I'm going to go. And one of the reasons I wanted to go is because in Frankfurt, there was my best friend who was having her birthday on the 24th of November, and she's fatally ill, and I thought I could get to see her. So when I finally got all the arrangements done, I called her again and again and couldn't get a connection, and then finally her son-in-law was on the phone and said she just died 2 days earlier, so I missed that one again. So there's always this, like life, there's always the good and the bad seems to come together brutally. So send some good vibes to the family and all the friends.
So I thought I'd cheer you up with an update of Kitty news. Our daughter, who lost her cat Harley to kidney disease, has not lived very long without adding more cats. So there was a stray cat who just knew she was the right person and haunted the porch where she lives. So she invited Dot in to join her. And then shortly afterwards, she discovered that Dot had a buddy. And Buddy got up on the window and meowed and scratched to be let in. So now she has Buddy. So she's back to three cats, and she's very happy. I said, I hope they're healthy. She said, yes, they are. And our darling Sweet Pea is doing well. But our neighbor, our wonderful neighbor and friend, finally got a beautiful little kitten. And she came over with Kitty, who we're still determining what his name is going to be, to introduce her kitty to Sweet Pea, but Sweet Pea was not friendly. So I'm afraid that's not going to work out. We're each godmothers to the other other's kitty.
Well, last Sunday, we took my grandma for early Thanksgiving, but we were trying to find a spot for her from the nursing home because of her stroke, and we're like kind of crazy. And last weekend, her people, I don't know what the term is, but who take care of her and all her stuff, went on a road trip. And so they left all the stuff to my mom. And so my mom went crazy last weekend trying to decide if we're gonna take her from Belmont to Oak Park, or if we're taking her home and having people come in every day to help her out and stuff. So we're just like going crazy and we don't know what to do yet.
Well, it was a delight to spend yesterday on the Capitol Square with, oh, I don't know, 30 to 40,000 of my best friends.
And a few that came from West Virginia and Kentucky and some big things from the
I don't know if this is appropriate for Joys and Sorrows, but in any case, my joy is that I just published my second book of fiction. Ten Nobodies and Their Somebodies, which consists of 10 first-person narratives by quote-unquote nobodies who worked for or otherwise served famous somebodies throughout history, which you're probably familiar with, and so glad about it, and of course it's on Amazon, and Barnes & Noble as a hardcover or an e-book.
Thank you for sharing, and for any joys and concerns that have not been shared, I will light the final candle. We would love to greet and get to know any visitors that we have today or people who haven't been to Prairie for a while. So I invite you to stand up and let us know who you are and maybe why you came.
Give me that. she doesn't want to introduce herself, but I sat down next to Peg Algar, a woman I work with in health services, who Dave has invited. So welcome, Peg. And she says she'll speak another time.
My name is David, and I'm from the east side. I normally go across the lot and do a read with the Terry and the school Terry. That's how I round out my collection.
Great, thank you for coming. Today's program is kind of a mystery because it's not written up here, so I'm not sure who's going to come up and talk now, but the choir's going to come up after the choir's going to come up after for the offering. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's another. Yeah. So relax, choir.
All right.
Oh, that's what she's been working on so hard all weekend.
The title of our presentation today that didn't make it in there is A Guest at Your Thanksgiving Table. We'll be talking a little bit more about that in a few minutes. One of the things we're going to do is give you some idea of what some of our young people have been doing downstairs during this time. Our youngest group, which is in primary, made a poster last week about what they're thankful for, so you can take a look at that when you get a chance. And our other groups have been working on social action issues. For our high schoolers, they're getting to the age where they can actually go out and do stuff, and so they're going to talk a little bit about that. Paula and the high school class, would you like to come up?
I'll just give an overview. Our class has had challenges because neither James nor Cheyenne can be here every week. And so this is James Hughes and Cheyenne Hale. And we've had wide-ranging and passionate discussions about what social justice means globally and locally and what we can do to have some effect on that. Projects that we have been organized for, we raised over $50 for UNICEF through our bake sale, and Jed Anderson also helped contribute to that. We did participating in leaf breaking last week. This afternoon, we're going to be putting together Thanksgiving baskets for distribution at the Goodman Community Center. We have, because of our the variety of challenges, which I won't go into, we've expanded what we're the services that we're going to do to individuals that we're aware of that have some need. So those will be secret projects. And in the future, we hope to participate in a Habitat for Humanity Work Day, which will invite other Prairie members to participate in. Another one is the Men's Shelter Breakfast, and we may be doing more of that in the future. So James will speak first about his experience with the shelter breakfast, and Cheyenne would like to talk about the food pantry and its importance.
So I got to serve at the men's food shelter down at that big church on the square, and it was very, like, I felt very accomplished, basically, for helping all of those people that just don't have a home permanently and they just needed a meal. And it just felt really nice to help out those people.
So what did you actually do there?
Me, my mom, Paula, we all made breakfast for the guys down there and served it to them. It looked like they were very thankful for it, and I was thankful for them.
Well, I wanted to talk about food pantries. Well, in my situation, we constantly go to the food pantry because we don't have enough food. And so, well, for people who don't have enough food, they can go to food pantries. There's lots of different food pantries around the city that people can go to and get food for free. And it really helps when, if you don't need food, if you guys need food, and you can go and get it for free at the food pantries. And it does help when the holidays come around and you can get food. And so I just like, the food pantries are really great, especially when you don't have enough money to go out and buy a lot of stuff that you need, and you can't because you don't have enough money. So the food pantries are really, really helpful.
Thank you. And now in our class, which is the 4th to 6th grade, basically, we've done a few things. At the beginning of the year, we got a message from an alien planet of Intelligentsia Maxima. The recording sounded a little bit like my husband. And they warned us that we hadn't been doing a really good job of having things be fair and just and taking care of this planet. And we got 2 weeks to design everything much better, which we came up with a lot of ideas. So they've given us a little more time now. Then we've had some other discussions. We had one time when we created superheroes for peace and justice, and Randy, who's teaching with me, had the best challenge, which is, if this is a superhero for peace and justice, then they don't achieve their ends by fighting. So how else can there be can we get resolution, or what else can superheroes do? And I noticed that that's exactly the same subject that Randy had a letter in the paper recently, so I don't know if anyone's put that up, but we'll look for that. Also, our class has helped collect money for UNICEF. Our class helped sell the crafts for Randy's project, and they learned a bit about both the Central American location and the Vietnam location that are affected by those. Well, what we're going to talk about today has to do with those boxes that are on your table. And it reminds me of something that happened when I was the age of the students in my class. I changed schools when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And one of the things we did in the new school was the teacher put up a picture in the front and told us to write a story about it. And I asked the girl next to me, because I was new, what exactly they meant? Well, like, there's a picture of something, and you would make up, like, who these kids are and what they're doing. And I said, I can't believe we're doing that in school. I used to do that for fun at home. We had a calendar. We were on the farm, and we'd get the farm store calendar, and it would show, like, a family doing something. And I would, be looking at it in my bed or something. I'd make up the names of the kids and what they were doing. I couldn't believe we got to do this. So that's what we're doing, in a way, with the pictures on the box, except we don't have to make them up because we actually do know quite a bit about the people. And I'm going to be assisted by my 4th to 6th grade group. I wanted to acknowledge a few people. Rachel and Nova were the ones who were here when we needed to quick write the scripts. And Nova's grandfather passed away in Michigan. So that's Maureen is the mom who's been coming here, so they were not able to be here today. Catherine and Aaron and Rachel will be our main actors today. And we do have some other assistants that I've tapped here. And I saw Katie there, and if she wants to, we can fit her in. So what we have is the 4th scene. So why? Let's see. Our actors for the 1st scene. Rachel and Aaron. Okay. So what we're going to show you is some places around the world where the UUSC is helping people who are already very active. These are our partners of ours. The first one, Dahlia, is in Egypt. Egypt's been a bit in the news this year. She is a human rights activist, empowering a generation of Egyptians who are experiencing democracy for the first time. She started as a youth organizer. She wrote a powerful essay about her experience as a young Muslim woman in Egypt, and she submitted that to a Dream Deferred Essay Contest that was sponsored by one of our UUSC partners. It's a group called Hands Across the Mideast Support Alliance. And when she was 25, she opened and became director of this organization's North Africa office in Cairo. And this is an organization formed after the September 11th attacks to promote tolerance and exchange of ideas among Muslims and between other peoples. They work to protect free expression, promote nonviolence, and advance women's rights. some people in Egypt were not sure how they felt about her activities. So here's a scene where Dahlia was called in to the security office.
"We in the security office of Egypt are very concerned about your activities. We hear that you have been talking to young people and giving out an American comic book. We don't want our children to see those bad influences of America.
Let me tell you more about it. I've learned about Martin Luther King and how he helped people in America with nonviolence. I wanted the children in Egypt to know about him and his ideas of nonviolence action. So I translated the comic book into Arabic. Do you know that there's no Arabic word for nonviolence? I created the translation that is now being used in Egypt. I have brought one of the comic books to show you. Let's read through it together so you can see what I mean.
Well, all right, let's have some coffee and look through this book of yours."
And so a bit later.
"Now that you have seen the book, did you think you can permit me to keep giving these to children?"
"Yes, may you print these?" "Yes, you may print these. And by the way, can I have a few extra copies for my kids?"
This year in Tahrir Square, copies of this comic book were passed around as protesters stood strong against the opposition. And now Dahlia is working to educate voters in Egypt, many of whom have never voted in an election, and encourage them to take part. She is getting support from UUSC, among others, for a program to reach out to young voters and other citizens. She's a young, daring, and creative woman deeply committed to taking action for positive change. She also helped launch an annual film festival about human rights in Cairo, currently in its third year. She maintains a blog, so we could look her up. And she's helping other youth with online advocacy around the world. And you'll see her with the headscarf on the box there. Dahlia believes that everyone should have a voice and a choice in democratic society. So you'll see you could find the right principle for that. We hope you'll join UUSC in sustaining her grassroots efforts to advance human rights and social justice. Our second story is from Haiti. So our performers in this, I believe it's Jason and our youth. And I'm not sure we have Patrick's picture on there, because I've got one here and it doesn't seem to match the box. But he's a young man, 23 years old. He grew up in a very disadvantaged neighborhood of Carrefour Feuilly in Port-au-Prince. And he was rescued from that by an organization called Association for the Promotion of Integral Family Health Care, which is a UUSC partner. The mission is to promote family health and well-being. But what they do besides health, reproductive rights, malnutrition, is art therapy for at-risk youth. And this was really important to Patrick, as we will learn about here, where Patrick is teaching some children in the art workshops.
How come you are a teacher here?
Because when I was a kid like you, this art program helped me so much. My family was very poor, and there was nothing to do except join gangs. Then my father died, and my mother threw me out of the house. I was living on the street.
Whoa, then what happened?
I started coming here for the art workshops. The people helped me, and I found out I was a really good artist. I've even sold some of my paintings. With that money, I was able to go back to school.
Did you ever see your mom again?
As a matter of fact, yes. I invited her and my stepfather to one of my exhibits of my work, and we all became a family again. And now I teach here so I can help more kids like you. And after the earthquake in January 2010, our organization helped many more children and families.
Thank you for being our teacher. I want to be like you when I grow up.
You want to tell her that? So since July 2010, Patrick has been teaching art workshops, and he's continuing his dream of being an artist. He's also developing as a leader. Today, there are nearly 70 kids who come for an average of 2 hours a day to work on art projects. So with the UUSC support, they're able to get supplies, space, and training. The students can sell what they make and keep the profits, and the process itself is healing Especially in the work of the earthquake, wake of the earthquake, these arts workshops provide a valuable way for young people to deal with what they've experienced. UUSC's work here strengthens the cultural wealth that already exists in the neighborhood and helps young people reclaim their dignity and rights in the midst of crisis. So you can help make sure that this work continues, and it's outside of what we usually think of in traditional relief efforts. Our third story comes from Africa, from Kenya, Chrysantus Mwandihi, who is working to help save the environment. We have Randy and some of our youth here. This is a story about how a village in Africa is working to save the rainforest, water sources, and the climate. Chrysantus is the director of the Soil Farm Multiculture Group, a UUSC partner in Kenya. They're working to protect the rainforest, which is the last remaining rainforest in Kenya. It's in a region that is home to the two rivers that feed Lake Victoria. As Kenya adopts the human right to water, passed in the 2010 Constitution, this organization is raising awareness of the need to protect this critical habitat. And here we'll see Chrysantus talking to some of the farmers.
We have a problem here in Kenya.
We are losing our rainforest and our clean water. Fertilizer from farms is ruining the water, and we are cutting down way too many trees.
But we have to farm to make a living and to support our families.
I know that, but there are better ways. Our Hope and Crops project will teach you how to protect the environment. For example, you can use manure from your animal instead of chemical fertilizer.
I don't know if our village chief will agree. He makes the decisions for us.
We are working with all the chiefs on this project, and we are teaching the children about how to grow plants and raise bees. Children in our program learn how to be protectors of the environment.
That sounds good. We want to take care of our land so it will provide for our children and grandchildren in the future.
The Hope and Crops Project is a school program focusing on youth action that teaches children about protecting the environment, planting trees, growing crops, and raising bees. They learn to grow traditional species like beans and cassava, which are beneficial for the environment. Those are hardier than non-native species and retain water, as opposed to plants that dry out or poison the soil. And knowing the influence of local chiefs, they are working with them. So here's some of this project's success. 200,000 trees planted, over 5,000 children in school learning to become environmental stewards and activists, and 300 families with safer water and sustainable livelihoods. The planted trees also support the new constitutional law that every piece of land have 10% tree cover. So Chrysantus is working to empower his local community while being mindful of the larger impact. And of course, UUSC is proud to partner with someone who upholds and respects the interdependent web of existence. And our fourth story, Maria, who was the young, there's a young woman there, there's a picture of two girls on one of the sides there. Maria Aguilera knows the importance of standing up for the rights of immigrant workers because she's been in their shoes. When she was 16, Maria moved with her family from Mexico to California. At that time, undocumented immigrant children didn't have much opportunity to go to school, so she helped her family by working in the lettuce and strawberry fields. At 19, she started working for a program that helped immigrant workers with problems on the job. And here we'll see Maria in a meeting with some of the workers.
Thank you for coming to this workers' meeting. We know that some of you are not being treated well by the farm owners, and you can't speak up because you will be arrested and sent back to Mexico. That's why I started this center, where we can get together to help each other and form a union.
But this is dangerous. What if the farm owners or the police catch us? How will we survive? We need to work to take care of our kids.
Even if we had bad conditions and low pay, it's better than nothing. If we complain, we will lose our jobs and get sent away.
Our kids are working with us too. We all work very long hours, bending and lifting in the hot sun. We have to work really fast. We don't have water when we are out in the fields or even a bathroom.
I know. I worked in the fields with my parents when I was young. I want things to be better for your kids. You and your families deserve better conditions and respect from your employers.
And that's just where the policeman is approaching.
They can't catch us. People who are caught meeting like this lost their jobs. Someday we won't have to be afraid of that anymore. Here are some flyers you can give out so more people will come to our next meeting.
So Maria, explain to people how the union could benefit them. Sometimes people did lose their jobs, but Maria and her fellow workers kept at it, knowing their work would improve lives. Later, when many workers' issues were resolved in California, Maria was ready for a new challenge. She went to Arkansas and helped people working in a poultry processing plant. She saw the same kinds of injustice that she had worked on in California, so she began volunteering for the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center, which is a UUSC partner that improves conditions for low-wage workers through educating, organizing, and raising public awareness. And so it's not always in other countries that the UUSC is doing work. There's plenty right here. People come to this organization looking for help with discrimination, wage theft, and other violations of workers' rights. With support and funding from UUSC, Maria helps people build themselves up so they can decide how they want to grow in their lives. She says, if your self-esteem is low, you let things happen on the job that are inexcusable, even to the point where I've seen cases of people being hit by their bosses. That's not acceptable. Together with UUSC, Maria and the others are making it possible for workers to gain a confidence and a sense of security. Maria is passionate about the people that she works with. She wants to help people know that they're part of a larger community, and the UUSC helps them grow. Maria works with the women in the spirit of the UUSC's eye-to-eye partnership model. She strives to honor the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and we hope you will continue to support her. Just to wrap this up here, we've heard about some real people who work with the UUSC around the world to improve people's lives. They come from different countries, speak different languages, and work to protect different rights, but they all share goals with us. We hope they inspire you to join their struggle, because it's not just their struggle, it's everyone's struggle. We hope you too will partner with UUSC and our friends in the global movement for justice, equity, and compassion. Together with your generous support, we are changing the world. And my class, what was that slogan we came up with?
The world needs to be changed.
And we had a graphic for that, where the world is what?
In a diaper.
The world was wearing a diaper. And the world. And some things that are there now are not very nice, so the world needs to be changed, and that's what these folks are doing. So do we have some comments? Maybe some people here who have been involved for a long time with UUSC would like to. Oh yes, so for these boxes, very good. The idea is that these folks, now we know all about them, Patrick, Maria, and so on, can actually be a guest at your table when you're having Thanksgiving dinner or any other meal. You can put in some money to represent a donation for their work and for their projects. And those will be brought back here then toward the end of this year, and all of that does go into the UUSC. Of course, you could also write checks, but especially for those who have children in the family, it's kind of fun to put coins in there that represent your donation. I wonder whether there might be people here who have had some involvement with the UUSC on different projects that wanted to say anything about that, or any other comments about our topic? Or, to broaden this further, are there some local projects that people have been involved in that you feel are supporting in the same way some of our principles that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I'd just like to say I've at different times been a representative, local representative for our church, for the UUSC, and I've heard some people say that, you know, lament that our denomination doesn't have a social services branch or arm for our, you know, for outreach into the world. And this is really what it is. I mean, this is the equivalent of Catholic Charities or Lutheran Social Services or something like that. It's really important work, and probably don't pay enough attention to it, but it makes a big difference. So I encourage you all to, you know, read up about the UUSC when you see it in the UUA world or other denomination news items, because it's great work, and I think that our denomination does a good job of pinpointing projects around the world that really benefit from our denomination support. And we typically find projects that encourage self, you know, in different areas, people who are self-motivating and create their own projects, and they just need some, you know, some boost from the outside to make things happen. It's not like we impose programs on of the world. So, and I understand that the RE committee is taking on the UUSC work this year.
Oh, I should just mention, if I didn't before, that UUSC does stand for Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, which was started right after World War II, isn't that correct? It had to do with originally with refugee projects.
Well, I wanted to talk about two things. I think this is dead. But anyway, we did have a presentation by someone from Cyrist a few years ago, and he talked about how when you give money to that, it buys about maybe 20 times as much as when you take your can of food into a food pantry. So I would encourage people to donate to Second Harvest. And then I know of a program called Plant a Row for the Hungry, which is advertised to the community gardens and so on. I've never taken part in it. But if you're a gardener, that's something to take part in. And I personally, when it's going to freeze, took all my collards and so on over to the food pantry at Allied Drive. It was really heartening to see how people got my collards before I even got to them. I'm so happy to have them.
Okay. I've spent quite a long period of time with a USA rep that came to Madison, and for somehow reason looked me up, I'm not sure why. And that maybe they were looking for more donations. But she was very, very confident, very interesting, and it was about the time of the earthquake in Haiti, which I had a personal interest. And it turns out that the UUSC, along with the American Humanist Association, which we also have a connection with, were among the first into Haiti, and not only into Haiti, but connecting with very effective local groups, not coming in and telling the Haitians what to do. And I was impressed by that. And so their work and our money was used in probably the most effective way it possibly could have been used. And so I think money sent to UUSC is very well spent, and they can get into niches that are not being covered by anybody else. And I think that's been one of their fortes, that they, let's say if someone has an ambulance but can't buy the gas, that's a prime example of the sort of thing UUSC does.
This is not about UUSC, but about a very good private enterprise. A friend of mine, a former classmate who's living with a very bad case of cancer in my neighborhood, his main quote-unquote charity is providing books for prisoners in Wisconsin. And I've given him a lot of books. His household is just full of books. And he was recently honored by one of the Wisconsin social justice projects. So when I come back from Germany in early December, maybe you might have checked out a few books that you might want to donate there, and it's amazing. Some prisoners even wanted German books. They're doing some studying of languages in prison, and it's very, very much appreciated. So.
I wanted to talk about a big one and a little one. I was on the United Way board for about 6 years, and I've been on the marketing committee for about 6 years after that. And we don't think too much about United Way because it's not a little tiny niche organization, but I really admire the fact that they take root problems in our community and they try and find the solutions. So the agenda for change is 7 different problems that they've identified as the most pressing problems for the Madison and Dane County area. And then every year they look to find what organizations can help move us towards a measurable solution. So if you want more information about that, it's really kind of exciting what they have done and how they've done, for instance, a national study of homelessness and determined that building more shelter beds is not as effective as moving people into permanent housing. So it's exciting what they do, and they do it very efficiently. We're one of the top United Ways in the country in terms of accomplishments. The other organization is actually a secret one. I belong to a group of women that is anonymous, and we take proposals from social workers and organizations for women who need a small amount of money. You mentioned about buying gas for the ambulance. That's the kind of thing we do. If a woman has a funeral she needs to go to for a close relative and that she has no other way to get there, we might pay her bus fare. Or if she is about to lose her refrigerator, you know, things, very small things, but things that make a huge difference and that fall between the cracks for other nonprofit organizations. And it's part of the pay it forward movement. So if anyone's interested in setting something like that up, we all meet quarterly to decide what the parameters are for who we will give to and how we handle these things, but we pool the money anonymously into a bank account. The money is sent out without any the women knowing who it comes from, or and we don't know how much we each give.
Oh, I think maybe we have one more or two more. Okay.
For those in the room who are still young, when I was a kid, and you know, when people are kids, the defining moral medal was defined by the activities in the civil rights movement. And the people who put their bodies on the line to make the critical changes that have led to a much better world that was still not good enough. But for your generation, the moral medal is going to be defined by climate change, because your guy is going to be living with that. And, it's, and the thing we've talked about, the tar sands fight, where 1,256 people came to the White House to get arrested, included a good dollop from the UU, and I hope we have more of you young people involved in that fight in the days to come, because you're the ones who are going to live with the repercussions.
I just wanted to first encourage people to take these home. I have several out there, so if you don't get, if you miss them on the table, you can take these home, and I'll be collecting the money, so you don't have to worry about having to fill this out in the back and send the money in. I'll be doing that at the end of the year. And I also wanted to talk about an upcoming project that I'm very excited about for the start of the new year. John and I, my husband John and I, and our two sons will be going to India in January, January 9th to February 8th. So we'll be there for a month. And many of you know that when I met my husband at a school for former child laborers, and the director of that school, Father Thomas Polyphanum, he was here several years ago. I think several of you met him. Well, he sent me an email saying that he met some of the people from the India Holdeen Project, which is an organization through the UUA. In the beginning of the year, our president, Peter Morales, was in India working with these organizations. And so this group that John was a part of, and that Rachel and my son and daughter, Reuben and Madeline, were volunteering at for the summer, they're going to be hooking up with the UUA to make the connection with their organization. So when I'm there for several Sundays, they have Skype. And I'm going to be Skyping in, and I'm going to have some of our youth be able to interview some of the students there at the child labor school so they can hear their personal stories about how they were working on the streets and how they got off the streets and how this organization in India called People's Action for Rural Awakening, how they'll be able to, how they're helping them and changing their lives. So you guys are also welcome to be down there. I'll be sending emails out about when I'll be able to be there on those Sundays, but you're all welcome to come downstairs and we'll Skype in with the children there.
Oh, well, one more. Dave, that'll be the last one here. I think we need to have our music.
This would be a good one to end on. I was sitting here thinking when you were talking about USC and University Society, I couldn't remember what it meant. I'm sitting there thinking for 15 minutes what that stood for. I couldn't. And then you said it. You said it right up. And I was so glad that you said that. Now I know what it is.
Well, I apologize because I should have said that right from the beginning. But, you know, we get this jargon. And some of you that work, I used to work for a phone company, and any of you that work for the state, right, there's lots of acronyms and abbreviations. So I apologize for that, and we'll make sure that we make that clear. I'd like to bring our presider back.
Great. Thank you very much, Robin. And thank you very much for all the actors who are up here. You did a great job. All right, we'll have the offering now and the choir will sing. Do we have baskets? Okay. Any of your donations to help Prairie function will be appreciated. Thank you.
And we're redoing Simple Gifts, so you got a chance to sing it, and now you get to hear how it sounds as a choral presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, choir. And we will turn to our last hymn, number 159, This Is My Song. Please stand if you would like to stand.